days and spoke about the kingdom of God. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called this field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And, may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who has been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken from us. For one of those must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles.
Yeah. Okay, so this is just before going by the Bible, like to follow this, the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, but before that they were walking and trusting God for what he needed to do through them, and they were listening to what he had to say and obeying him. But there, yeah, needed to be that person who replaced Judas. And the casting of lots was apparently a method that was used to determine God's will for a situation in biblical times. And it was used because before Jesus, there was only a few people who would actually hear God speak to them, and then they would go on and speak and give the message to the people, prophets. So I guess that's why they used that system, if you like, because they weren't a prophet, but they needed God's wisdom, they needed his guidance, and so this is the method that they used, by casting lots. And so Barsabbas or Matthias are the two that are the names that they're going to be deciding on. But they needed God's spirit to do this. They needed God to do the choosing. And so they prayed, Lord, you know every heart. And I love that, that they're just being honest with him, like, we don't know, but you do. So we trust that the lot will fall to the one that you choose. And so it was Matthias who was added to the number. And, yes, and as I was reading it, I wondered, how did Barsabbas feel about it? I'd never really thought about it before, just through the week when I was reading it, and it was in the Word for the Day. If you use those devotions, last Monday it was highlighting this situation. And I didn't know, but it said that Matthias's name doesn't get another mention. Now, I don't believe that that doesn't mean that he didn't do what he had to do. Maybe he went off some, you know, because the disciples or the apostles, they were scattered through persecution. They were scattered throughout Asia, and the word of God and was spread because of the persecution. So maybe his name is mentioned in other writings, but it's not in the Bible. Whereas the other fellow is mentioned. So I just wondered how Matthias might have felt about being chosen, because, you know, they're in the firing line. They're on the hit list, these people, these apostles, these disciples, as was others who were joined with them in the task of following Jesus and spreading his word. Anyway, he obviously took it on. And then, you know, and just how Barsabbas might have felt, whether he felt rejected. You know, this was God's choosing. So he wasn't the one chosen by God. How would that make you feel? Okay, the other one is. Or he might have felt relieved. Okay, oh, good, it's not me. Or he might have just accepted that this is God's plan. But he kept on going because he is referred to as a leader of the church later on in Acts 15 at a vital time in the church's history. Many people had been coming to the Lord, particularly in those places around Rome. And a lot of the Pharisees, or I don't know about a lot, but there were Pharisees who were also becoming Christians. They were accepting Jesus as their Saviour. And so if we turn to Acts 15, if you're following it in your Bible, and again I might just ask Rosina to now read, we'll go back to 14, go back to Acts 14, and I've just got some verses here I'd like her to read. Thank you. Starting at verse 21. Here we are.
Acts 14:21 to 15:12. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem and to see the apostles and elders about the question. The church sent them on their way, and as they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Then we go to verses 19 to 22. "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from foods polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest time and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers.
Thank you. Yeah. So there'd been problems occurring in some of these places where the word was being preached. People were becoming believers, but they were just a little bit off track because of the old law, the law of that Moses gave, which was that they needed to be circumcised. But when Jesus came, it did away with law, and it was grace that was given. And so here there was people who had been following God all this time, and then they, you know, they're Pharisees. They know the law. They're saved, but still so much of what they've always known is a part of what they teach. And it started to bring confusion and a heartache, really. And so the apostles, they all needed to talk about this. They had to work it out. What are we to do? And they worked it out that, yes, they've got to not put any more burden than necessary on these new believers, and to just to teach them that, yeah, they don't need to go through what Moses had given in the law to be saved. It was accepting Jesus and his love and his forgiveness for the sin. It was the sin that was the problem. So here's Barsabbas, who is chosen to go with Silas and to take a letter from the apostles to these churches, these new churches, and to encourage them, to build them up in the love of Christ and to get them on track. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever had times when you have thought about a teaching or something that you've really believed, but you've found it's gone a little bit off track? And it's, you know, it's the more teaching you receive or the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to you as you read the word, you think, oh, okay, you know, it's not quite what I thought. And I think it's a growing process when you believe it. Like, it's a daily thing that we're growing in God. We don't have all the answers. And I think if we rely on what we used to know, you know, from particularly before we were saved, we probably thought some things were right. But Jesus says, hang on, you can forgive that person of that sin, you know, instead of judging them because you think it's right to stay away or whatever. But he says, no, I want you to go to them. Oh, you know, it's just little things like that that we can actually not be on the, you know, the right track with what Jesus is wanting us to do or say. So, I don't know, I just felt that when I was reading this, that we have some lessons to learn from this fellow who lost out on the vote, and that is to remain faithful to Jesus regardless of whether we think we should, you know, get this, that or the other, or be commended for this, that or the other. But just accept that, oh, you know, Jesus has got the plan. He knows the way, and he has a plan for each one of us, and for us to remain faithful to his plan, because then his will and his work will be fulfilled. It will come to pass that those that you are praying for to be saved will be saved. You know, we just don't give up. We just keep on praying. And we don't know how he will do that. We don't have the answers, but God knows. He knows the big picture. So, yeah, I just think just be encouraged that no matter what might come against us, that we trust Jesus and learn from, you know, all these seemingly nobodies, you know, people that you might hear of once. Oh, you never think of them again. But they had a part to play. They had a part to do, and Jesus used them. And we'll get to meet them one day, I believe. We'll get to meet them in glory. And we'll find out just what happened and how they got on. And I reckon the stories that we'll hear are going to blow us away. And maybe whatever we've done that we're not even aware of are going to blow us away also, from because God used something we've said, something we've done, to bless somebody and turn them around, and they've found Jesus. And we probably are sitting here this morning and haven't got a clue that it's had any effect at all on anyone, whereas they'll end up in heaven because you were faithful. And so I just want to encourage us just to keep on going, no matter what's ahead, no matter what's up for, you know, up ahead with us. We've got it pretty good at the moment. We've got opportunity. We've got freedom. We've got the word. Many, many people, in fact, the majority, yeah, because we're in minority, aren't we? The majority don't have it. They don't have what we've got. And so we need to use what we have and the time that we have, because we don't know what's going to be happening, you know, in the political scene at any time, at any given time, how our rights can be taken off us, our freedom can be removed fairly quickly. So we need to make, or not take it for granted, I guess, just every day that we have, don't take it for granted. Pray every morning, Lord, may this day be a day of change in somebody's life for you. Maybe I can just touch or smile at someone, I don't know, put that letter or card in their hand that'll bless them. Whatever it is, that we need to do it and not think twice and then not do it, you know, because that's the second thought, isn't it? The first thought is, I should. The second instant, oh no, because. And you've got all the excuses in the world, haven't we? They come flooding in straight away. We need to do it. And we then allow God to use us and flow through us to bless others. So, yeah, I don't know what your what you find difficult. Maybe there's something you know you've got to do and you don't want to do it because it's too hard. I don't know what your situation is. And if you would like prayer for support and for God's Spirit to rise up in you as you take that step, we'll ask someone that you trust to pray with you. I think that's where the fellowship part is important, the praying for one another. It doesn't have to be everyone, but at least one that you can go to and just say, I need help here. And pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to strengthen you and to give you the gift that you need for that moment, for that time. Does that make sense? Is that all okay? All right, well, let's pray and let's ask Jesus to prepare the way for the week. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that you have given and you have poured out your Holy Spirit into all who ask and receive, willing to receive. And Lord, we know it's not just a once-off thing, but we need your Spirit to fill us afresh every day. And Lord, we thank you for the place where you have planted us, whether it be here or somewhere else. Lord, it's a part of your plan. So, Father, we pray that the rest of this day and the days that follow, that we would be open to receive from you your word, your grace, your forgiveness. Lord, your direction, your power, your healing, Lord, for every area of our life that needs the power of your touch. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill us to overflowing, that we are blessed to be a blessing and lift up your name in action, in attitude, in word, in thought. And that your kingdom, Lord, your kingdom here on earth will glorify you and be increased. Praise your name, Lord. And Father, we lift up Keith and Margaret to you and pray your protection over them as they travel today. Lord, bring them home safely, we pray. And again, we lift up, Lord, this school's work and ministry, and we put it in your hands, Jesus. And we pray that your outworking for this will be the person that you're calling into this position, that you are already leading them and you are preparing them for this ministry. And we just pray for the WeWar board, Lord, as they meet and as they seek your face and they seek your will, Lord, that there also you would be blessing them with the person that you're calling to fill that position also. Thank you, Lord. Amen.